You're listening to the Author Stories Podcast, bringing you the story behind the stories and the storytellers.
Margaret Wise,
Terry Brooks,
Sheena Kamal,
Matthew Quick,
J.T. Ellison,
Walt D. Williams,
Brad Thor,
Corey Doctorow,
Brandon Sanderson,
Robin Mom,
Ernest Klein, Jim Butcher,
Sherilyn Harris.
Visit HankGarner.com for archives of all the shows. Today's guest is... Thanks for joining me again for the Author Stories Podcast, where I bring you the story behind the stories and the storytellers. Today, I am super excited to have Gordon Uncle John Jobna on the show with me today. We're here to talk about a very special book that he has out. It's Uncle John's Truth, Trivia, and the Pursuit of Factiness, and it's number 32 in their bathroom reader series, which this is a hefty book. And I'll tell you what, I have gotten lots of enjoyment thumbing through the book, grabbing random facts and learning something. You know, this is an interesting book. You don't have to read it from cover to cover straight through like I do most books. But this is so much fun. First off, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Absolutely. We begin each show with the same question, so we'll get that out of the way first, and then we'll dig into all that you do. That question is, what is your first memory of wanting to be a writer or storyteller?
Oh, probably, I used to write puppet show scripts when I was in third grade. I remember that. And I also, was an avid comic book reader, and I wanted to write my own comic books. I drew some, but never did write a comic book. This is close, though.
This is close. That's so funny. Do you remember there being a story, an author, a series that you read as a youngster that just completely blew your mind and opened you up to the possibility of what books could do?
Well, Vonnegut probably, but that's a little later, not when I was, a young person, probably more like when I was a teenager, but yeah, Kurt Vonnegut, he came up with not only a different way of telling stories, but, a way of integrating common language or writing the way that people actually talk. And I don't mean the dialogue, but I mean the way the books were structured with short paragraphs and so on, which, you know, I'm somewhat ADD, which is and dyslexic, so that was really a revelation to me that you could actually tell a story in short little paragraphs and short chapters, and that actually is kind of what Uncle John's Bathroom Reader turned into.
I think that's fascinating because most people will refer to Vonnegut's dialogue style and how accessible it is. It feels like you're listening in on a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting about Vonnegut, and I'm glad you brought that up, is that when he comes out of dialogue and then becomes the narrator voice that's walking you through the story, that right. doesn't change. It still remains that friend, that accessible voice who's carrying you through the story. And I think he doesn't get enough credit for that. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And as I said, Uncle John's Bathroom Reader actually, was the brainchild of my brother, whose name is John. But we both, liked Vonnegut for that reason. As I said, you know, if reading is a chore for you, that style speaks exactly to you. And plus Vonnegut in particular, he mixed in fantasy and, science fiction, which for a comic book person is perfect.
I think, Cat's Cradle, the Slaughterhouse Five are great examples of that.
And he wove in wisdom, which it's great literature. You know, it really is great.
Yeah. And there's nothing like walking away from the book feeling just a little bit smarter, or maybe not even smarter, but feels like that you can look at the world through a different lens, and it gives you pause to, you know, maybe I don't know everything that I think I know, but I at least can look at the world differently.
Yeah.
So you said that the Uncle John's Bathroom Reader was your brother's idea initially. What were you doing at the time that your brother came up with this idea?
Well, John and I had done a few book projects together, and he called me up one day and said, hey, I got a great idea for a book. What is that? A bathroom reader. And I just fell on the floor laughing. I thought that was hilarious because everybody in my family read in the bathroom. And the idea that you were going to create a book that was designed to read in the bathroom was just hilarious. And I said to him, well, you know, that's a fantastic idea, but you should call it Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, because I'm a wordplay guy, and I like the pun. And then he fell off the floor laughing, and you know, that's how it got started. So we were involved in publishing, but it was his idea.
What were you doing in publishing? What brought you to publishing?
John and I did a book together, a nonfiction book called 60s, which we did in the early 80s, I believe it was. It was a pop culture book about the 1960s. And in fact, in the places we got reviewed, we got generally panned because we ignored all of the social unrest and politics of the 60s and focused on pop culture. And of course, we kind of predicted how people would become nostalgic for the 60s. We were sort of way ahead of the curve on that. But that was our approach to that. And we did a few other things after that that I sort of dropped out of the publishing for a while, because I had a family to feed, and that was not always the most lucrative venture. So, we were focused on pop culture. That was our life, actually.
Want to grow as a writer and take your writing to the next level? Give Pro Writing Aid a try. Pro Writing Aid is a grammar checker, style editor, and writing mentor in one package. Pro Writing Aid will never replace a human editor. Rather, it helps you self-edit to a deeper level, so that when you send it off to an editor, they will be able to focus on the meat of your writing and not spend their time fixing basic writing issues. Pro Writing Aid is the only platform that offers world-class grammar and style checking, combined with more in-depth reports to help you strengthen your writing. Our unique combination of suggestions, articles, videos, and quizzes makes writing fun and interactive. Writing can be grammatically perfect, but still feel awkward and clumsy. Pro Writing Aid searches out elements like repetitiveness, vague wording, sentence length variation, over-dependence on adverbs, passive voice, overcomplicated sentence structures, and so much more. Nothing makes a writer lose credibility faster than spelling and grammar mistakes. Submit clean, error-free writing. Go to ProWritingAid.com and use code HANK20 for 20% off of Pro Writing Aid Premium. Pro Writing Aid, check it out today. You know, that's an interesting take on the 60s, because the politics, the social unrest, all of these issues keep getting brought back up. And as we're rehashing a lot of those things now in 2020, it's nice to escape reality for a few minutes every now and then, and where everything doesn't have to be life or death. What is it about pop culture that we love so much, and what is it about it that allows us to escape reality without escaping, to learn something new in a different subject? Why do you think we need to disengage sometimes to go, to one of your books?
Well, In the case of, you mean like Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, because it's fun. I don't know. It's entertaining. It's fun. It's distracting, and it's also informative. You know, it's not like you can't be tied to orthodoxy all the time. I mean, you really do need some escape from that. And pop culture is a fun way. You know, sports. We all listen to music. We all, you know, watch TV or go to the movies and cook. If you cook, I mean, we do articles about food. We do articles about we and we do articles about politics. I mean, I was just in the past few days, I was thinking about an article that we did years ago. It's probably 20 years ago, maybe even a little longer, about the election of 1876, which is the election of Rutherford B. Hayes, where the election was sort of stolen, so that the Democrats in the South agreed to vote for Hayes, who was a Republican, because they made a secret deal to. This is in the Electoral College I'm talking about. They made a deal to vote for Hayes in exchange for getting the Union troops out of the South. And so, you know, those are serious things that we do write about those too. But, you know, the purpose of Uncle John's Bathroom Reader is to be entertaining, as well as informative, but entertaining.
Well, that story of Rutherford B. Hayes is not something that a lot of people know off the cuff, but it's fascinating. You know that they're you know we all kind of trust that the Electoral College is going to do what we task them to do, but they don't have to, as we see with Rutherford B. Hayes. And wow, that's something that's both timely and you know can be filed under trivia as well.
Yeah, I think some historians call that the end of Reconstruction, actually, because the Compromise of 1877, I think it was. But we do write. I was just making a point that we do write about these things in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader when they're, you know, sometimes ahead of when they hit the mainstream. But again, as you say, it's a little bit of historical trivia that people carry with them. And that's another thing about the Bathroom Reader, is that we throw out so much of this these little tidbits of information throughout our books that you know we provide something for people to talk about dinner parties or just to take
Yes.
with them when they leave the reading room.
Well, you know, we all have that friend, and I think we all secretly aspire to be that guy at a party who can talk about anything. And it may not be terribly deep, but you know, we know something about a lot of different things, and that's kind of the power of trivia. Why do you think trivia is so important? And you know, in an age where we are informed so much by social media, where we, you know, care deeply about an issue until it completely flames out, and then the next issue comes around that we're supposed to be, you know, invested in, and you know, people have kind of lost the ability to kind of educate themselves broadly. What is it about trivia that is such a handy thing to know?
You know, I'm not a social scientist, but I like to know a little bit about everything. I have a very short attention span, sorry to say. I mean, we sometimes joke that Uncle John's Bathroom Reader is written by people with ADD for people with ADD, because we all seem to have that in common. But a lot of people do, and you know, there's an appeal that goes far beyond our books. I mean, this is now this is how information is disseminated in little bits, because it comes at you from all sources now, constantly. You know, it's a way to digest it that maybe we have lost the, well, not lost, but subjugated maybe a little bit the ability to ponder, or as you say, to learn broadly, but it's a way, you know, trivia in little bits is a way to absorb all of the information that comes at us all the time. And, you know, with the entire world being delivered to you all the time, it's not just your neighborhood anymore. It's everywhere. You need a way to do it. And for us, we're always looking up for fun ways to bring information to people and in ways that we ourselves would. And when I say we, I'm talking about all the writers. It's not just me. I have a staff of writers, but it's all of us. We're looking for ways that we would like to read information, that it can be both informative and, you know, non-threatening.
Looking at the Amazon page for the Bathroom Readers Institute, the banner that you're publishing under, there are tons and tons of titles that you guys have published. How do you keep looking for fresh ideas? And is there a way to manage all of the things that you've talked about already so that you don't rehash the same? How do you keep it fresh and keep bringing new stuff to your readers all the time?
Well, the things that we, you know, ideas for new articles, and every copy of every annual edition of Uncle John's Bathroom Reader has, I don't know, about 280 articles, something like that, 320, I don't know. But it's in that neighborhood. And so how we come up with fresh ideas for articles, it's a combination of, you know, we'll just have somebody will have an idea. Like to use the example that there's a pizza restaurant down the street from my home in Portland, Oregon, called Life of Pi. And, you know, I love the pun. So one day I was walking by it and I said, gee, I wonder if there are any other restaurants with sort of punny titles, punny names. And that started a research project where we found it's a page in this book of such names that include like, Lox, Stock, and Bagels, and I Should Be Souvlaki, you know, Wish You Were Beer, The Dairy Godmother, Red Zeppelin, Lord of the Fries, Vincent Van Donut. I don't know. So that would be how one way that we come up with ideas, just something catches our eye, but you know, or we'll see a news story someplace and say, well, what's the rest of that story? Or hear a little fact someplace and say, well, what's the story behind that fact? So that's how we come up with ideas. It just sort of come up. But as far as how we keep track of it, we have a database. We have a huge database of, because we try very hard not to repeat ourselves. That's part of what makes Uncle John's Bathroom Reader appealing, is that we do keep finding new things to write about and not just the same old things. We let other people write about the things that we've already written about, which is what happens.
The Novel Factory Online is software for the serious writer. With features like notes that are automatically organized, that means no more drowning in piles of paper, notes, or spending hours organizing digital folder structures. The Novel Factory offers clear, obvious structures for noting down information about plot, characters, locations, and everything else relating to your novel. Innovative features like the roadmap take you from concept to finished novel. The roadmap is an optional step-by-step guide to writing a novel that takes you from the premise to final manuscript and beyond. It draws on tried and true, tested theory that lies behind the majority of best-selling novels and blockbuster movies. Access your writing anywhere. The web version of the Novel Factory can be accessed anywhere you have internet. So you can write your novel on the train to work, while walking the dog, or climbing a mountain. Just log in and all your drafts and notes will be at your fingertips. Go to novel-writer.com to see how this powerful software can unleash your creative side. Use code HANK2020 for 20% off. That's the Novel Factory.
I would imagine that the internet and search engines make your life a little bit easier, but you guys were doing this long before the internet age came. around and matured to the place where it is now. What did you do before the internet was, at your fingertips?
Well, we did it the old fashioned way, libraries, magazines, newspapers, and books. We were, of course, at that time we had the mistaken idea that anything in a book must be true, but that's how we found interesting information. And when we wanted to, research a story, we had to do it the old fashioned way. Today, of course, it's much easier to research, but we still do it the old fashioned way to a large degree. We still use books and newspapers and magazines to put stories together. I'll tell you one thing, the internet makes it a lot easier to fact check, or the opposite, fact uncheck, to find Snopes or something like that, you find things that are urban legends or myths. It's much easier to debunk those now than it used to be. As I said, we used to take these things for granted. If it was written in a book, it must be true. And we found out the hard way that that's not so.
I think we can all agree that 2020 has been a dumpster fire of a year, it mildly.
Yeah.
We should be firmly ensconced into baseball season right now, and professional sports has just been it's crazy right now. Everything is kind of off the table, and they're trying to figure out ways to bring it back and in a new reality and all that. But are there some baseball facts in this book that we can, of course you didn't know what was going to happen when this book was put together, but
yeah,
you guys have found some interesting things about baseball, haven't you?
Well, yeah. And we love writing about sports because there's crazy people in sports, and we love writing about crazy people or crazy events. In this book, what we did, baseball teams have big promotional nights where they give away T-shirts or baseballs or bobblehead dolls, and they have big budgets and they can do that. Minor league teams don't have those big budgets, but they still need to get people into the stands. So they come up with different kinds of promotional nights, something somewhat cheesier. And we collected a few of those for an article, like the Altoona Curve. That's a team in Pennsylvania. They have what they call their annual awful night. One year, the park announcer intentionally mispronounced all the players' names. Very low tech. And another year, they gave away a free plastic spork with the name of the team written in magic marker on the handle. Another night, they had a hot coffee chugging contest. So very low tech, but a team had a Ted Williams popsicle night. Ted Williams, of course, is the great player for the Boston Red Sox, but he's also well known for having had his body cryogenically frozen. And so this team gave away free popsicles to the first 500 fans in the stadium. And my favorite is alternative facts night. That's another Pennsylvania team, the Erie Seawolves. Sort of echoing Kellyanne Conway's comment that there were alternative facts in 2017 after the election. This team held alternative fact night where they gave away replicas of the Seawolves' 2016 league championship rings, except that they didn't win the league championship.
That's amazing. Speaking of awful nights, is it true that our yearly tradition of Halloween trick-or-treating has its roots in Chicago, of all places?
Yeah. Chicago, it turns out, is a place where more candy bars were manufactured than anywhere else. That's where they made Tootsie Rolls, put Baby Ruths, Butterfingers, Milky Ways, O. Henry's, Snicker Bars. So most food historians believe that this is where Halloween trick-or-treating started. Why? Because all the candy companies promoted it. It was to their benefit. So yeah. Other candy trivia that we found. One of my favorite facts is that Snicker bars were introduced in 1930, but when they were first marketed in England, they were renamed Marathon bars, and the reason was that the manufacturer, which is Mars, didn't want people to associate the name Snickers with the word knickers, which is British slang for underpants.
Because people would, I guess.
I guess. I don't know.
Speaking of candy bars, is it true that you have to be 21 years of age to buy a Kit Kat in Japan?
Kit Kat bars around the world, they have different flavors in different countries that are more local. In Japan, they have a sake-flavored variety, and it amazingly, it is 0.8% alcohol. I don't know if you need it to be an adult but to buy it, but it's pretty wild. It reminds you of that Doris Day Rock Hudson movie where they invented a product that was 10 cents and it would get you drunk. And then I don't know if it was called Vim.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
Or Vip. Excuse me. It was called Vip.
Vip. Yeah, I remember that. In all of the books that you and your team have put together, are there still facts that they come up with or you discover that just blow your mind and make you laugh hysterically?
Well, yeah, and those are the best ones, the ones that make you laugh and you go, holy, I didn't know that. I never do that. I love there's an article in the New Bathroom Reader called World's Worst Business Decisions. And it's a topic that we like to revisit every once in a while because they are mind-blowingly stupid. George Lucas made a deal with Fox when he first was hired to do Star Wars, when they first made a deal to do Star Wars. He traded a lower director's fee. In other words, he agreed to direct the movie for a much lower fee than normal in exchange for keeping the merchandising and sequel rights to Star Wars. Now, in Fox's defense, they had no idea what it was going to become, but this made him a billionaire. And in fact, they have to have figured that was the worst business decision they ever made because it cost them billions. And in fact, it turned him into basically an independent producer because he didn't need anyone else's money to make all of the sequels. So that's one. Another one that I found from I did not know from until we did this book was that Kodak. Some people, if you're under 25, you probably don't know who Kodak or what Kodak was. But for anybody over 25, we all know that Kodak was synonymous with photography. It was photography. Film and developing was what they were known for. Turns out that the reason we don't know about Kodak anymore is because film photography was supplanted by digital photography. Well, it turns out that Kodak invented the digital camera in 1975. It was the world's, they called it the DC-40. It was the first digital camera. And they didn't want to develop it further because they were afraid it would cannibalize the film business, which, of course, it did. They did. It was self-fulfilling prophecy. They actually didn't release it as a product until 1995, and then they didn't promote it. And boy, what a mistake that was, because by the time they did, they realized what had happened. It was too late, and the company really just tanked.
To be killed by your own product—that's
amazing.
That is amazing. Wow. So looking at the contents of the book, the book is broken out into topics. And then in each topic, you have broken out whether stories are short, medium, or long. Not all of them have all three designations, but a lot of them do. What's the difference in the short, medium, and long designations?
Well, it started as, you know, how long was your visit to the bathroom going to be might determine whether you want to read a long article or a short article. So it started as, you know, kind of a joke, but, you know, the fact is you want to read something fast or want to read something quick and just not have to delve into, you know, into a long article. So that's a one page article for us is a short article. A 2 page article would be a medium. 3, maybe even 4 or 5. We do have much longer articles because there are some topics that you just can't brush over quickly. You can't, in spite of what some other trivia outlets do, we just feel that some things need to be long form and you can't just do a bulleted list or a numbered list and get the whole story. Interestingly, writers prefer the longer story to write the longer stories because writing a short list is hard work to get a whole story into a 1 or 2 page article or list is a little tougher, but our readers love them and I like them. You know, frankly, I like to read short things. I feel like I get a lot out of a small time investment.
There's definitely an art to it though, isn't there?
There definitely is. It's engineered, you know, we never used to think of it that way, but over the years I've come to realize that, you know, it really is an engineering feat to figure out how to turn a lot of information into a bite-sized nugget, you know.
And there you just summed up the difference in novel writing and short story writing in a simple point there. The new book is called Uncle John's Truth, Trivia, and the Pursuit of Factiness, Bathroom Reader number 32. What an incredible series that you guys have put together. There are links to it in the show notes of this episode. I'm also going to link up your Amazon page where if people want to browse through and all of the great volumes that you published. Gordon, is there a place online where people can look you up and connect with all the great stuff that you do? I know that you guys have a pretty amazing blog that you publish.
Yeah, you know, I probably should know what the email address is, or I believe it's bathroomreader.com, and I think you can get to the blog there also.
Absolutely. I'll be sure to put a link in the show notes to make it easy for people to find. Gordon, this has been so much fun chatting. The new book is amazing. We're going to send everyone to see you and to pick up a copy of it. Thank you for taking time to come on the show today.
Thank you very much, Hank. I really enjoyed it.
World Anvil is a browser-based world-building platform designed for all world builders, writers and novelists, dungeon masters, game developers, and everyone else. World Anvil keeps your world setting safe and organized, helps you find your characters, locations, plots, timelines, and maps quickly and easily as you write. Then, if you choose, you can showcase your amazing world building to the world, beautifully and interactively, to keep your readers engaged. You can even use our professional tier to build your career, selling access to behind-the-scenes content your readers will love, and growing your community. Build your world setting in any genre with over 25 custom-built world-building templates, complete with prompts to inspire your creativity. Allow your readers to explore the public parts of your world in an innovative new way with interactive maps, timelines, and wiki-style articles. Give special access to co-authors, beta readers, customers, or patrons to see exclusive behind-the-scenes content. There's a free version to get started with all of the major features. Guild membership offers you a host of extra options, including comprehensive privacy settings, co-authors, presentation options, and so much more. Join our community of over 800,000 world builders, including professional authors. Take part in competitions and learn more about world building at this fantastic online community. Use the coupon code HANK to get 20% off all 6 and 12 month subscriptions. WorldAnvil.com. I'm a recent convert and I know you will be too.